Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Sick Beats with Jared and Sophia. I'm Sophia.
And I'm Jared.
For those of you who might be new, Sick Beats with Jared and Sophia is an interactive podcast. We're kind of like a book club, but for music.
Yeah. Every week we choose a new album to listen to and we talk about it.
We talk about it. And yeah. We also update our Sick Beats charts.
Yes. The Sick Beats charts is a 10 song playlist that Sophia and I curate specifically for you.
Just like Spotify.
But better, because it's us.
We're going to get sued.
Spotify's going to take our podcast down. But we make a playlist on top of our podcast. It's all really fun. Everything Sick Beats is announced on our social media, on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook, at Sick Beats with JS.
Not SJ.
And yeah, first of all, I just want to say happy late Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
We took a week break due to holiday schedules. But we're back, baby.
We're back and better than ever.
Yeah. And today is the long awaited episode where we finally get to talk about 30 by Adele.
I'm so excited for this, you guys.
Me too. This is probably going to be a long episode. So if you're allowed to drink, grab a bottle of wine. Set
How
the mood.
Very Adele of you.
I know, right? Because I drink wine. but yeah, sit back, relax. We're going to have a fun time talking about some good music today. But before we get into the album, we like to talk about a few things in the music world and social media. And I first wanted to start off with, yesterday was a national holiday. It was Spotify Wrapped Day.
Is that a national holiday?
No, but it should be.
Okay, I was like, what?
It just feels like Spotify Wrapped drops and the world stops.
That's true.
You know? So I thought it would be fun for us to look back on our 2021 listening habits and share our top five artists and top five songs of the year.
I just want to preface this by saying that I'm not a Spotify user, and so I did not get a Spotify Wrapped. So I am doing my Apple Music 2021 replay. That's very hard to access for no reason.
I remember because I used to be an Apple Musicer, and it was always so hard to find. I know, I'm sorry. yeah, I remember always being very difficult to find. So my top five artists this year, from 5 to 1, went Billie Eilish, SZA, Water Parks, Ariana Grande, and then Doja Cat. And I did not expect Doja Cat to be my number one, but I forgot how much of a chokehold Planet Her had on me when it dropped over the summer. Like, that was all I listened to for maybe 2 months. It was obsessive. Yeah.
To me, my year starts when like school starts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult thinking back on the entire year, especially now that we're in December. Happy December, by the way.
Happy December.
It's December 2nd, the day that we're recording.
That's whack.
But looking at this replay or Spotify Wrapped, it's like you forget almost.
Yeah.
What you've listened to. Anyways, my top five artists, like Jared said, from 5 to 1, my number five is Tyler, the Creator. Then it's Billie Eilish. Then Orla Gartland. Then Bo Burnham. Then Hayley Williams.
Ooh. I like the sprinkle of Bo Burnham in there.
Yeah. You know, Inside came out. In the summer, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's
right. In the summer. The soundtrack to it is really good, and it had a hold on me for the absolute longest.
I feel that. No, that's really good. Welcome to the internet, you know? then my top five songs, this makes me laugh so much because it's just two artists. Are you ready for this? 5 to 1, we have Prom by SZA, Get Into It, Yeah by Doja Cat, Drew Barrymore by SZA, Need to Know by Doja Cat, and Kiss Me More by Doja Cat featuring SZA.
That sounds so accurate. You're going to think that mine is pretty accurate, too.
Okay, I love it.
From 5 to 1, 5 is Pretending by Orla Gartland. 4 is Hate Myself by Dodi. 3 is Love Me by The 1975. 2 is Zombie by Orla Gartland. And 1 is More Like You by Orla Gartland.
Oh, my gosh. Orla is conquering not only your Sick Beats charts, but your 2021.
Okay. And I will clarify that they're the single versions of the songs. Uh-huh. So these have not climbed up to top 1, 2, and 5 status just from her album coming out. I was able to listen to these songs before. Like, these are all the singles that came out.
Yeah.
Oh, just need to clarify so you guys don't think I'm crazy.
I don't know if Apple Music shares it, but I've listened to almost 30,000 minutes of music, and my top genre is dance pop, whatever the hell that means. I get it, I'm gay, but I don't need you to tell me that, Spotify.
Spotify does it in minutes.
Yeah, they do it in hours on Apple Music, right?
Yeah, but I can convert. Guess how many minutes I had, Jared?
How many?
32,340.
Wow, you did better than me.
For a total of 539 hours of music.
Wow. If you go to hours for my minutes, it's 495.91667 hours. That's pretty fun. I always love looking at people's Spotify Wrapped. So if you're at home and really want to share your Spotify Wrapped, at our social media handle in your comments, let me see your Spotify Wrapped.
Sick Beats with JS.
Not SJ. Apparently, Kalita's dropping a new project tonight called Scenic Drive, which is an EP that's supposedly going to be a companion to his 2018 EP called Sun City.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of collabs on it. I think I can't remember them off the top of my head. I really don't have much to say other than I'm excited because I love Khalid. But I think JID from the song Options on Planet Her is on the album, which I'm excited to hear another verse from JID because I said I would go and visit JID's discography.
Yeah.
Guess what? I didn't. So I'll get to listen to JID again, which is exciting.
It'll be nice to hear something from Khalid. Again, I feel like I haven't heard a song by him in so long.
I know.
Or like something new by him.
He like had that like droplet era where he was like dropping like 11 and.
Yeah.
There's another one I can't remember the name of. Yeah. I think it's only appropriate to mention this before we talk about 30 by Adele. I think it was today that it came out, but Nikki Tutorials on YouTube got to interview Adele as a part of her series of The Power of Makeup.
Yes.
I had the opportunity to watch it before the podcast today, and I thought it was a lot of fun, and I got some interesting info on the video. So if you don't have 30 minutes, here's two things that I thought were really fun.
I have not seen it, so this will be news to me.
This is a very, very short TLDR. Things I picked up. Adele has a Finsta. And she's not allowed to have the password to her real Instagram account by her team, apparently. So she has like a Finsta that she sends her friends stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. I just thought that was fun. I think that it's funny that Adele knows what Finsta is.
She knows what Finsta is, but doesn't know what a body count is.
Yeah. She knows what Finsta is and our government doesn't. Think about that. And also, apparently, the song I Drink Wine off of 30 by Adele has a music video. That's just existing. And Adele said it's super campy, super fun, and has predicted that the idea of this music video will be everybody's Halloween costume in 2022.
That's like, she's talking that music video up.
That is a big claim.
Yes.
So personally, I will be dressing up as a bottle of wine. I'm like super excited for it. I think it's gonna be fun. I thought the interview was very good. I just think Adele in her rawest form of just existing as a human being is very interesting. Mm-hmm. She curses like a truck driver in it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as she should. I think she was like talking and then she went, shit, fuck. Like, there was no pause in between. She was just like, shit, fuck. And I thought it was funny.
I love that for her.
Yeah. Anyways, go watch that interview after you listen to this whole podcast.
Yes, heart the emoji. Entire episode. The entire 4 hours that we'll be sitting here. All right, guys, it's time. It's time to start talking all things 30 by Adele. So if you didn't know, today we're going over 30, which is the newest album by Adele. It released on November 19th, 2021. It's got 12 tracks, unless you have the Target exclusive, then it has 15, and it runs about 58 minutes long.
Today we're just talking on the standard edition 12 tracks.
Yes.
I don't have a CD player. I don't have money to buy the CD at the moment, so maybe one day we'll talk about those extra 3 tracks. But for now, this album, genre-wise, is a bit of pop, a bit of jazz, a bit of soul.
Yes.
That's what Google's telling me, and I agree.
I agree with that.
Yeah. This whole album is really just Adele finding herself as she goes through this hard time, and she goes through the journey of what a divorce is, and she's, like, discovering who she really is in her rawest form.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, going through the obstacles of, like, having a child while being divorced and like destroying your child's life and then trying to like pick it back up. That came off really dramatic. Adele, if you're watching this, I'm sorry. You did not destroy your child's life.
That was like really aggressive.
Throughout the album, as she's like, there's a lot of sad songs talking about like obviously getting divorced, songs to her son specifically about like where she's coming from, trying to like explain her situation. And then there's songs where she's kind of like looking at other people and like just exploring the world. I've been very high key obsessed with this album since it's dropped. I think Thanksgiving break was a perfect time to take a break because we got an extra week to digest this album after hyping it up for 10 weeks, maybe.
Yes.
We've been talking about Adele, I think, since the podcast started.
Probably. Yeah, because we started off the podcast saying that it was rumored she was coming out with a song.
This is the full, complete journey. If you start the podcast over, you can relive that journey. So diving into this album, we start on the first track and is called Strangers by Nature. Sophia, give me your thoughts. Give me your opinions.
I really like this song. Personally, it's an honorable mention. And this is one of the songs that I claimed. If you remember back a few episodes ago, I have a little star next to it, just so I can talk about that. This song is like the perfect soft intro into kind of her situation, I think. I really like the lyric that gets repeated throughout a lot of the song, "No one knows what it's like to be us." This song gives me kind of lullaby vibes, and I think it's what she is doing with the melody with her voice. And then also, you know, before the strings kick in, kind of in the climax of the song, there's like a nice muted little piano in the background, and it gives me a lullaby vibes.
This song is very theatrical. It feels kind of cinematic. As you know, if you listen to the podcast all the time, I reference Genius a lot because that's where I go to look at lyrics. But in Genius, it was written that she took inspiration from Judy Garland and like that kind of a sound. And I think it really shows there. I absolutely adore this song. I think it's a favorite track for me. I just think it's a very interesting sound, especially from Adele. And it's like such a great way to open an album. When I'm listening to the song, I see it like as a, we just finished the conversation of like, I want to divorce you, LOL. Not LOL, but you know. And it's like, you kind of like, you're like, okay, bye, bye. You enter your separate rooms, doors close, and then the song starts.
Yeah.
Is how I feel.
And I really like, you know, this song has a lot of reflection in it. And, you know, you're splitting up from your partner of however long, but you still will respect them. And I think she references that in, you know, I'll be taking flowers to the cemetery of my heart. And again, with the no one knows what it's like to be us kind of, you know, we are who we are and nobody else can write our story.
Yeah.
Even though we're separated, you know, there's still respect there. I also really like when she says, I've never seen the sky this color before. It's like I'm noticing everything a little bit more. I think that that's a really cute and really simple lyric to illustrate something and a feeling that is really complex. Because obviously if you're divorcing someone, something was wrong.
Something happened.
Something happened. You're in an uncomfortable situation and now all of a sudden you're free. And you're like noticing the birds chirping and like you're walking outside and you're like, is this how the world looks all the time? Like, was I that unhappy? So I think that that's really interesting, too.
I love how you pulled some of the lyrics that I literally pulled as well. specifically that Flowers to the Cemetery of My Heart lyric. She sings after that. She's like, every anniversary, I'll pay respects and say I'm sorry, for they never stood a chance as if they could when no one knows what it's like to be us. I thought that was great. And in like the outro part of the song, she sings, will I ever get there, when she's singing about like this stranger from nature. And it's like this whole strangers by nature is like that end goal. It's like, eventually we are going to not know each other. I'm not going to know what you're doing on your day-to-day basis anymore. And it's like, how do I get from here now to that? Like, is that ever going to happen? Am I going to be able to move on? Like, it seems impossible. And I just think that is such a powerful way to start this album that is all about the struggle of going through a divorce.
Yeah. And also what the music does right there. It's there's a few moments in this album where I have to turn my volume up all the way, no matter if I am walking to class, I just got into class and I should be taking my headphones out, like anywhere. I could be doing anything. And this is one of them. The strings in this album, and I know that I'm an orchestra nut and everybody knows that by now. But the strings at this portion of this song are beautiful. and they swell and everything's really dynamic and loud. And this is the climax of the song. And it just perfectly supports what she's singing.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, her vocals here are not like belty or loud. They're pretty vulnerable. And just what the music is doing around her is like helping her speak.
I totally agree. I don't really think I have anything else to say about the song other than like, it just like, it felt unexpected, but like in such a natural progression for her sound.
Yeah, and I agree
like,
with that.
It set the tone and it like got me really excited to listen to the rest of it. So we get a divorce. and 11 tracks later, we reach a song called Love is a Game. This song is interesting for me. This was one of the songs I claimed a few weeks ago on the podcast. And I love how this song develops. It takes mm-hmm. its time. This song is almost 7 minutes long.
Yes.
It's one of the like four songs on this album that are almost 7 minutes long.
And I don't care.
I was going to say, that's like a highlight. Adele gave us such long songs.
Yeah.
That it made a 12 song album be an hour long. And I'm very happy about that. it gives me that same theatrical kind of essence that the intro track Strangers by Nature kind of holds. Mm-hmm. It feels like curtains closed for me, you know?
Yeah.
Like this could be like the Bows song, you know? I wrote specifically this lyric. She sings, I can't take another defeat. A next time would be the ending of me. Now that I see that love is a game for fools to play, and I ain't fooling, what a cruel thing to self-inflict that pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that idea. I feel like anytime you go through a relationship and like, even if it's like a great relationship and you're just like tripping over a rock in the relationship, like there's a rough patch, like you feel that feeling of like, love is so stupid. Like, why do I do this to myself? And I think the way she's singing is beautiful. It's like she's singing this like
it's
painful thing beautifully.
Yeah. And the whole vibe of this song, it feels very classic to me almost. And listening to this song with the background vocals, which are super fun, by the way,
mm-hmm.
you can almost, as you're listening to it, see it being performed on stage.
Yeah. I wrote in my notes for this, as you say that, this might be controversial or hot take, but this song, this song reminded me of the final scene of Midsommar for some reason, where the girl is just surrounded by flowers and it's just a tragic movie, but she's smiling and laughing and having a good time at the end. And that's what this song gives me. It's just like, or like, you know, that meme of the girl smiling in front of the gas station that's on fire.
Yeah.
That's what this song is to me. It just like, it has that feeling and it's just like, it's so fun. And it's like just giving into the fact that life can be hard sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like not taking that seriously, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. The layering on the song is so good. It just continues to build itself up higher and higher. The vocal layering, you got the echoey vocals in the chorus mm-hmm. repeating herself, and it's fun because her like British accent like comes in on those yes. vocals, which is cool. And you go all the way through the song and that last chorus is just like a scream
yes.
of just like vocals. I don't really know what else I want to say there, but it's just like, it just like is, I feel like the song is the final sigh of relief.
Yeah.
If that
no,
makes sense.
I completely agree with that. You know, lots of growth happens throughout this album.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're going to touch on almost every track, so hopefully you'll see that. but this really is, you know, you get to the end of it. And I agree with you. It is like, you know, you're up on stage one last time, curtains closed.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the ending of the song, you know, you mentioned that the song builds really well.
Yeah.
100% agree with that. And I like, especially with the chorus, because we all know that Adele can belt.
Yeah.
So whenever she gets a little more reserved or when she sings lower, I love a good low note Adele moment. And the verses are pretty low on this song and I love them. Especially the first verse, but this song builds super well. And that last chorus is so grand and it's like everybody's on stage and everybody's dancing and everybody's like, oh, end of the night, end of the show.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to say about Love is a Game other than I think I would place it as an honorable mention for me just because I find myself just really existing in the middle part of this album at the most.
Yeah.
And once Love is a Game comes on, I'm like moving on and I have to do something else.
I forgot about that. This song is one of my favorite tracks. So I think that's funny. The song that I claimed is a favorite track for you, but an honorable mention for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the song that you claimed is a favorite track for me, but an honorable mention for you.
Well, you see, Sophia, I claimed it because I wanted it for you.
Aw. And then you divorced me.
Yeah, and then I divorced you.
All right, everybody. Moving on to favorite tracks. My first favorite track on this album is My Little Love, which is another song that I claimed.
Big brain.
I think that we are going to be talking about this song probably for 30 minutes. There's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah.
Most notably, there's a lot of dialogue with her son, Angelo, in this song. And I actually have something to say about this.
Okay.
I really like the interjections of her talking to her son because in my opinion, I'm not a parent. I don't know what it's like to be a parent, but having open and honest communication with your child is so important. And teaching them how you process your emotions or how you get through difficult times not only equips them to help you go through things in the future, but it also teaches them how to process their own emotions,
yeah,
which is something that so many kids struggle with. And that's how, you know, mental health issues start at a really young age is because kids don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really important to give kids credit. And this is a point that I say a lot, just kind of in my life. Kids aren't stupid. They know what's going on.
Yeah.
She says it in the song. There's a line that says, you know, you can see, I'm not surprised you can see through all my lies or something along those lines. Adele isn't the only one going through this divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Her son is as well. And, you know, it's important to have those conversations. And she talks in this song, or she touches on how, you know, he's feeling lost and how she feels that that's completely her fault. And, you know, when you're going through a shared experience, it's important to talk to each other about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I have to say about the dialogue with her son in this song.
Yeah. I think it's super important. And I mean, when touching a topic like divorce, like especially as a child who has gone through that situation, talking about it in a healthy, honest way is the best way to get out of it with little to no trauma. I know, like, just thinking about being in fifth grade when my parents split, it was not a great time. And like, I resonate with those feelings that her son Angelo must be feeling of just like being lost. And I really like with the inclusion of these voice memos with her talking to her son, I think it's really interesting. I wrote a whole paragraph about this. Be ready. I just think it's very interesting because she's being very transparent and open with her child, but she's still like calm and collected about it, which first of all, how do you do that?
Yeah.
But I think it's very interesting because we hear this like very like reassuring, like, here's the situation, I'm here for you, for her child. And like, she's pretty calm. And then at the end of the song, like about, I say the end of the song, but it's like halfway through the song.
Yeah.
Because this is a very long outro on the song,
yes,
which I'm here for. But this song outros with a voicemail that Adele left one of her friends. And she's like sobbing. And she's like, I'm hungover. I feel alone. I don't know what to do. And it's like, you get this different level of vulnerability from both sections, and like the dichotomy between the two is just, it's fully representative of what divorce can do to somebody and like the different situations that Adele is going through, because not only is she processing it herself, she has to make sure she is emotionally there enough to be able to help her son through this while not like putting up too many walls and just not talking about it, because it's so easy to just not talk about something like this.
Yeah, I can't, you know, I am not a parent. Jared is not a parent. So it's hard to kind of put yourself in the shoes of a parent, you know, trying to kind of hold things together to be there for their child, especially when you are going through the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, because as a parent, you're supposed to be kind of like your child's rock and like somebody that they can go to about anything. So when you're going through something, it makes it 10 times harder to be emotionally available enough to be there for somebody else.
Yeah.
I think that these little conversations with her son obviously she's talking to him. She's trying to keep tabs on how he's feeling. But I think that in a way she's talking to herself as well.
Yeah. There is a lot of dialogue going on here.
Yeah.
I also think the first half, the differences between like the first half and the second half of the song in the instrumental is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The first half of the song, like the instrumental kind of feels like smoky and hazy.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It's like cloudy. It's got something in there that's just like, it's lingering. And by the end of the song, you hear like clear strings.
I have so many words to say about the ending of this song.
I'm feeling like those strings at the end are just representing like weeping, just full on crying, which I think is interesting because the next song is Cry Your Eyes Out. Or cry your heart out. Sorry, my bad. Cry Your Heart Out. And the whole point of the next song is just about cry. But it's just like the difference between like the smokiness at the beginning and that like going away.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very interesting. I didn't pull many lyrics on the song, but this chorus makes me scream.
Yes. This song is really emotional, you guys. It's really hard to listen, especially for me, the ending of this song is really hard to listen to without like wanting to curl up in a ball and cry.
Yeah. Especially because you're hearing Adele cry.
Yeah.
Like she's literally crying on the track.
Well, I'm not talking about her dialogue. I'm talking about the
strings.
The outro.
No, I know. But in the chorus, she sings, I'm holding on. And then the backing vocals go barely. And she goes, Mama's got a lot to learn. It's heavy. I'm holding on. Catch me. Mama's got a lot to learn. Teach me.
I love the parallel with the background vocals in the chorus.
Yeah.
Again, you know, going through something with your child, going from, you know, I'm barely holding on to like catch me, or I have a lot to learn and it's hard. This is a lot. Or like going from that to like teach me, like do this with me. We're together.
Mm-hmm. Adele's just a good mom. she needed to do what was best for her.
Yeah.
And she's just trying to make sure she doesn't break her child at the end of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way she's done it here is so, so special.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is something that she's held onto this album for a while, but this is a song that's just going to be forever with her.
Yeah.
I personally did not put in favorite tracks just because I feel like the storytelling is so specific to the album itself that if I were to just jump to this track, I feel like I would not be doing it justice.
Yeah.
So like you wouldn't see this on a playlist for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I feel like this song belongs with the album. But it's just so good.
Just my last little thing before we move on. I have to talk about the end of this song.
Yes, do it.
Roughly the last minute and a half. It's a little bit less than a minute and a half. The main instrumental fades and strings are brought in section by section, which is something that is really important to the ears.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to figure out a way to make this make sense like a normal human being. But I was in a chamber orchestra in high school. I was the concertmaster of that chamber orchestra for a couple years. And the things that you're able to do with dynamics and phrasing, and my buddy Connor, if he's listening to this right now, he knows he was in orchestra with me. But, you know, there would be certain songs we would play where the emotion was there so heavily that like even being there playing it just makes you want to weep.
Yeah.
And the ending of the song makes me miss being in orchestra so much. So I'm getting like, I'm listening to it. I'm getting the emotion of the song. I'm like, oh my God, my divorce. Oh no. And then also, on the other hand, I'm like, oh, my God, I miss orchestra so much. And then I start thinking of memories and fun times and, like, beautiful pieces that we would play. And just within the melody that these strings are playing, it has so much movement and so much emotion. And I just, like, I want to meet the orchestra that recorded this so bad.
Next episode, we'll have them with us.
Like, I cannot express to you how every single time I hear this song, this is another moment where I have to turn my volume all the way up. I get goosebumps all over my body every single time I hear it. I've been listening to this album for 2 weeks now, every single time without fail, all over goosebumps. And I just like want to sob.
My next favorite track is the next track, Cry Your Heart Out. This song starts with the chorus. and I'm obsessed with it. Specifically the vocal production on this chorus. It's like kind of crunchy. It's like kind of synthy sometimes. Like there's just a lot of different vocal layers. And it just is very interesting and pleasing to hear.
Mm-hmm.
The lyrics, Adele drops her skincare routine. She goes, cry your heart out. It'll clean your face. When you're in doubt, go at your own pace. Sorry, that was a really stupid joke. That was the joke I was hyping up before recording.
It's funny. I support it.
Thank you. When she's singing this chorus, there's not really any instrumental. It's just all the weird like vocal mm-hmm. layers. And then the verses kick in and it's like a little like jazzy, swingy, kind of upbeat vibe.
Yeah.
And she's like just singing about how she's like sad. Like,
yeah.
She's like, I have no more tears left to cry, Ariana Grande. but she's like, all you can do right now is just cry.
Mm-hmm.
Let all of the emotions just flow out of you. I specifically have written down the pre-chorus that really does it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Adele sings, when will I begin to feel like me again? I'm hanging by a thread. My skin's paper thin. I can't stop wavering. I've never been more scared. And then it goes back into the chorus of cry your eyes out
mm-hmm.
or cry your heart out. It'll clean your face. I just think it's so powerful. And the production is just so infectious.
Yes. This song really gives me the vibes of 19.
Mm-hmm.
Which was her debut album that came out when she was like 19, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
just, you know, 19 is really jazzy and really kind of the melodies and the verses are a lot more percussive. And so listening to this song for me kind of gives me a little throwback to those songs
mm-hmm.
in 19. And this is another song that I claimed, by the way. And this is going to be another honorable mention for me. I think it's really good, though. I limited my favorite tracks.
That's very fair.
So the rest of them had to go into honorables.
If you were to force me to pick a top three on this album, I think Cry Your Heart Out would be up there.
Mm, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I like how you mentioned it sounds like 19 because it also has just a very youthful energy to it,
mm-hmm.
which is just I don't know what it does to this, the meaning of the song or anything. It just sounds like young.
Well, and it just reminds me of what she used to do with her voice back then,
mm-hmm.
which she like really strayed away from when she realized, oh, hey, if I belt everything, they like that. So let me do it for like two albums straight. Next up on both of our favorites lists is a track called Oh My God. It just so happens to be the next track.
Welcome to Track by Track. This is a song I claimed. It's yes. also a favorite track for me. This is why you should trust me. Because I was writing claiming this track, just period.
Ooh, I have a genius note.
You have a genius note? Song. Okay, throw it.
According to Genius, this song is about her reentering the dating world post-divorce. And, you know, kind of exploring the whole kind of I can love another person. And that's why, like, she talks a lot about it feeling wrong.
Yeah.
And so seeing that little note makes that make a lot more sense.
Yeah. I wrote this mostly as a joke, but I wrote, ho anthem, ladies and gentlemen. It's the ho phase after the breakup. She may not have been being a ho, but that's how I'm interpreting it. So
no,
sorry.
She Adele. Definitely wasn't being a ho, but I understand.
Yeah. Well, specifically, she goes like, I know that it's wrong, but I want to have fun. And whenever I hear the words I want to have fun and the word wrong together, I just immediately think I'm having casual sex. But I know that's not what she wants. But I feel like us 20-somethings will take it that way and use it that way. So I apologize, Adele. I know I said I was right for claiming this track, but originally I was kind of about the song.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's just because the pre-chorus doesn't hit the way I wanted to. And that's because she goes, I know that it's wrong, but I want to have fun.
Like that.
See, I like it now that I've gotten used to it. But at first I was like, does she just not know what to write there? Like, it just felt incomplete for me. But then this chorus slaps you in that face.
This chorus is so good.
Oh my gosh. I don't have the lyrics, but I mean, she goes like, oh my God, I can't believe it.
In the chorus, she says, oh my God, I can't believe it. Out of all the people in the world, what is the likelihood of jumping out of my life and into your arms? Maybe, baby, I'm just losing my mind because this is trouble, but it feels right. Teetering on the edge of heaven and
hell
is a battle that I cannot fight. I'm glad you caught up on that.
And I was like, does she want me to say a place? I just, I, I think the chorus like moves very fast. And that whole like idea of like, it feels wrong, but it feels right. It's just like the way she's singing is very interesting. And the beginning of the song, I know I'm jumping back and forth between every part of the song.
That's okay.
But it starts with like this weird like, like distorted like horn, like thingy. I wouldn't call it a horn. I don't even know what to call it. But like, if you've heard the song, you hear Sophia's dying. I know.
Okay, look, I know that we were having trouble describing what exactly this instrument is, but I didn't think that he would sing it.
Of course I'm gonna sing it. Yeah, I don't know what else I was going with that, but it's just like, it starts with that and it's like, attention.
Yeah.
I'm dating.
I like her lyric. I believe it's in the second verse.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I don't have to explain myself to you. I'm a grown woman and I do what I want to do.
I have that written as well. I just love that. She doesn't need to explain herself. Yeah. I mean, I love that a lot. And in this like breakdown bridge post-chorus thing, she just sings, Lord, don't let me down.
There's... No, she says, Lord, don't let me down.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for not having the repeats in there.
No, I think that that's important, though.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I'm stupid. Oh,
Lord,
well.
Don't let me down.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I didn't
but
even think about that.
But that's how I've always interpreted it. It could be, like, normal. Like, Lord, don't let me down instead of Lord, don't let me down.
I think you're right. I think it's both. I honestly think it's
probably
both.
Is both.
Because it's like a prayer, like, don't
Knowing
let me
Adele.
Down. Don't screw this up for me again, Lord. Like, let me find someone and never have to do this. Never let me make 30 by Adele again, basically, is what she's saying. But then she's like, don't let me let myself down. That makes sense. You know what? You're right.
There is a lot of, that's one thing to mention. She does admit fault for a lot of things in this album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear Adele is making an album about her divorce. You think every song is going to be like girl boss, like I'm bitter and you did me wrong. But Adele does admit fault to a lot of things, being like, this is what I do that's like not great.
Yeah.
I have a note that I've been thinking about if I want to say.
Okay.
I don't know. This song feels like an Adele song that's mainstream enough to end up on the radio. But that, like, saying that is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because I always like it when an album comes out that is kind of a vulnerable experience like this one.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be as satisfying if you could tell that she was trying to make a radio song. And I feel like this one could end up on the radio, but it's not kind of like that kitschy, like I'm doing this just to get high up on the charts or something like that, just to make it be catchy. Like it's really poppy and it's a lot more palatable almost, but you can tell that it's still based off of her experiences.
Yeah. You're not losing any like artistic integrity.
Yeah.
This isn't like a song made for TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I do like how you mentioned that, though. This song is currently sitting at number 5 on the Hot 100 at Billboard. This is definitely going to get single treatment at some time. There's no way in hell this doesn't get a semi-love to your new lover kind of moment.
Happy dance time.
I know. I could go for an awesome music video for this song.
Yeah.
My next favorite song is also one of my favorite things to do. The next song is called I Drink Wine.
Which you're allowed to say because you are a legal adult.
I'm an adult, yes. This is another track I claimed, and it's their favorite track, so she was right.
Go off.
I do want to say, though, I did not expect the direction of this song because I thought it was going to be more of an experimentation on like a more poppy, like, oh my God type of sound. And then what we got reminded me of 777 from Silk Sonic, where it's like the boys, except it's single moms with a bottle of wine, arms around each other, last song at the bar, you know?
Oh my God.
And it's like everybody's hugging. And this is the boys' huddle, but for women and the gays.
That's so funny.
She sings, I could throw every single lyric at you in the song, so I'm not. I'm going to focus on the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
But she sings, I hope I learn to get over myself. Stop trying to be somebody else so we can love each other for free. Everybody wants something. You just want me.
I love that last line of the chorus.
Yeah. And you know, she sings, "You better believe I'm trying to keep climbing, but the higher we climb feels like we're both none the wiser." And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is already going to be so long, so I don't want to like linger on the entirety of the 6 minute song.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like a reconnection with people.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And like, I don't want to like tie it to pandemic because I don't think it is a pandemic kind of tie, but it just like reminds me of like kind of coming back to society.
Yeah. Because I mean, feel that.
When you're going through something as tough like a divorce, I haven't been through that from the perspective Adele has. But it's easy when you're going through something so hard to just kind of like be yourself. And Adele admits to being a recluse a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like she's like, with all the extra vocals and like all the fun, like backing vocals from Adele, it just feels like reconnecting with people.
Yeah.
It feels like that clip art of everybody holding hands around the globe, you know?
I really like the second verse where she says, "Why am I obsessing about the things I can't control? Why am I seeking approval from people I don't even know?" I think that's a really powerful lyric and it's very relatable.
Yeah.
For celebrities and for like normal people, because I feel like everybody obsesses over things that they can't control.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, for me at least, it's really frustrating that I can't control things all the time.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I'm a people pleaser. And so the seeking approval from people I don't even know, like I'm always trying to make everybody happy all the time. And it's like, why?
Yeah. At some point, you have to start living for yourself.
Yeah.
And stop trying to be somebody else.
Yeah.
You know?
So we can love each other for free.
For free. I didn't know I had to pay to love somebody. I want to focus on the outro.
Yes. I have the entire outro written.
I'm glad you do because I don't. But this, like My Little Love, this song ends with like a minute long voice memo. Sophia can read it all if she wants. But I feel like this voice memo is like Adele talking to somebody, like a close friend. And she's like, "I only regret like that I did it at the time I did. And like, I wish I did it at a different time." And she talks and on and on. And she just ends this like whole like monologue, I will call it, with, "There were just memories in a big storm."
Yeah.
When she's talking about the whole thing. I just think that memories in a big storm is a very interesting way to put that.
Yeah.
And it makes sense.
For those of you that want to know.
Yeah, I was like,
this whole dialogue.
Give context for that.
She said, she opens with, "The only regret I have, I wish that it was just at a different time. A most turbulent period of my life. Why would I put that on you? That's just like a very heavy thing to have to talk about. But because of that period of time, even though it was so much fun, I didn't get to go on and make new memories with him. They were just memories in a big storm."
I don't know who she's talking to in this voice. No.
I almost think she's talking to herself. Or.
That's interesting. I could see it being herself. I could see it being her son somehow.
Yeah.
I could see it being a friend. I could see it being like her mom.
Yeah.
Like this could be to anybody. And maybe we don't need to know.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think including that in this like getting over myself track just makes perfect sense.
I also just want to point out, I really, really enjoyed the live performance of this song that she did wherever she did it. I can't remember.
At her one night with Adele. I still haven't watched it.
It's really good. And, you know, I mentioned it in the podcast how I was pretty sure that I Drink Wine in particular was sang live exactly how the studio version would sound.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty accurate. I just, watching Adele perform live is just a treat, even though I've never gotten to see it. I've just like watched videos of her performing live. but I really enjoy watching her sing this song live.
Yeah.
Moving on. Yes, we're going track by track. We can't help it.
Sorry about it.
Next up is All Night Parking featuring Errol Garner. This is the interlude of the album. And I love this song.
I do too.
And I know that we predicted, or you predicted.
Yeah.
I'll make it your fault.
It was my fault. when we were talking about the track list and claiming tracks, I predicted that this would just be an instrumental, like a 40-second clip. This is a 2-minute and 41-second long interlude.
Yes.
This is a song.
Yeah. You predicted that it would be all piano. And I said that it would probably be a really nice break from like crying and all of the emotions And I think it is a really nice break from all the crying and the emotions. It's just not all piano.
Yeah.
This song gives like the lo-fi Adele vibes of my dreams.
I'm angry because you said it before I could. This is Adele's lo-fi beats to chill / study to era.
Yes, this is such a different sound for her. And I'm not mad about it.
Me neither.
It's so good.
When I tell you the first time I heard this song, my jaw like dropped. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, piano's pretty. Mm-hmm. And then Adele slid in. And I was like, oh, shit, I was wrong. And then I looked at the length of the song and I was like, oh, my God, it's an interlude that's 2 minutes and 41 seconds. This mm-hmm. is the shortest track on the album and it's almost 3 minutes long. Your faves could never. Like, this is the only time I think you will ever see an interlude be in one of my top tracks because it's a great length. It doesn't overstay its welcome, but it definitely mm-hmm. stays its welcome.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, listening to the song for the first time, you know, I did not expect her to sing. I didn't expect it to be a fully thought out song. I didn't expect it to be very much just because of what we had said about it. Mm-hmm. And it exceeds every expectation. The beat is so good. The piano, you guys, Errol Gardner, he's a professional pianist. We went over this when we were talking about the album. The piano is gorgeous in this song. And I swear to the heavens, every single time I listen to it, I notice like a new little like thing.
Yeah.
About the piano. It's so good.
It is really good.
It like floats through the song and like really supports. I don't know. It's so good.
This song makes another appearance of the British vocal ad-libs.
Yes.
She like will sing a phrase and then like will sing something else in the background. But it's like it just has like a specific tone mm-hmm. that feels British.
It's like all in her nose. Kind of.
And the second verse, she goes, I don't know how you got through to me. And then the back vocals, she goes, I'm so cold. And she goes, it's all happening so easily. And she goes, like, oh my God. And I love it. It's like it's very fun. It's so just different. Mm-hmm. I could never see this existing on 25, on 21. I have not listened to much of 19, going to expose myself, but I bet it doesn't exist there either.
No, it really doesn't. I completely agree.
Everything about it is so pretty. And I just like, this song is like a stream of consciousness kind of. There's like three verses mm-hmm. and then there's a two-line chorus and it's just in the middle of it's like after the first two verses. It's less of a chorus and more of a motif. Mm-hmm. But she's like, I just want to dream about them all night long. Mm-hmm.
This song perfectly embodies kind of the honeymoon phase of a relationship. Mm-hmm. And Sophia has another genius note. Genius has a little snippet from an interview that she did where she revealed that a few songs on the album are about her first love after the divorce.
Yeah.
And I think the other one is Oh My God.
Yeah, I think so. I agree.
She revealed in an interview there's a few songs on the album about her first love since the divorce, but they were long distance, so it was never going to work.
Yeah.
And she kind of mentions that in the song right before, you know, the motif that we were just talking about. In the second verse, she says, every time that you text, I want to get on the next flight home.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. I'm assuming this guy was probably in England. Because she lives in the States now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and like, it's just so interesting. I don't know. I really like this song so much.
I think it's just her vocals are the most striking to me on this song.
Yeah.
They're softer and smoother. And her voice, like, this song feels like it comes out so easily and so naturally. And she's just, like you said, stream of consciousness. And it's just like, she's chilling. And just having a good time and just kind of like existing in this moment where she's like so caught up and it's just like so easy.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to think about, you know, anything yet. It's just all good.
Yeah. She's never had an immature vocal. Like she's always had very mature vocals.
Yeah.
But her voice just sounds so, so mature and mm-hmm. like so good. And I could talk about that for 3 more hours.
Yeah.
So.
I like don't have any more words about the song without repeating myself.
Same. It is 2 minutes and 41 seconds, after all. My next favorite song is Woman Like Me. Again, this is track by track, kind of, so.
We can't help it.
Would it have been Sick Beats if we did not track by track the album we've been hyping up
for this album, the whole season. Oops, all bangers.
Yeah. Woman Like Me is hard for me to talk about because it's a 5-minute masterpiece and I could just sit here and read every single lyric to you and then never be able to say anything.
No, I have that written down.
I'm only going to give you the chorus specifically. I don't know what Sophia has in store for you. But she sings, complacency is the worst trait to have. Are you crazy? You ain't ever had a woman like me. It's so sad that a man like you could be so lazy. And then she's kind of like repeats this chorus, but like in a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And she goes, consistency is the gift to give for free. And it is key to ever keep a woman like me. And I love that. Like, here's what is bad. Here's what's wrong. Here's what the standard should be. Mm-hmm. I know my worth. It is a very minimalistic track. You get like a little bit of percussion and like a picked guitar melody.
Yeah.
And just her beautiful, beautiful, beautiful freaking voice. It's just like she's diving in more into that R&B soul sound here. And like, I'm already a sucker for that genre and I'm a sucker for Adele. So this would never not exist on my favorite tracks.
Yeah.
What lyrics have you pulled out, Sophia?
I literally just pulled the chorus.
Okay.
Because I said the way that we could just read all of the lyrics and have no other words to say because she illustrates this story so well.
Yeah.
This song is going to have a hold on me for a very long time. It's, again, her vocals are so different. They're so sultry almost.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know how to explain it.
The way she's singing, like, you can't have me. Mm-hmm. It's so sexy.
And I kind of have that in my notes too. The way that she emphasizes some of the lyrics in the verses and in the chorus, she really picks and chooses her moment. And it's almost like slam poetry.
Yeah.
You're getting so much emotion. You're getting a little bit of percussion and rhythm from the way that she's delivering these lyrics. And it makes it so powerful and so meaningful to listen to.
Yeah, you don't clap after the song, you snap.
Genius said from an interview somewhere that she said this is the only track she wrote with any feelings of rage toward her ex and toward the divorce.
Ooh.
So this is her like angry. She's calling him out for their problem. She calls him complacent and lazy and insecure. And you can tell that this is the only song she wrote from a place of rage.
Yeah. That place of rage, I have one lyric that I did pull minus the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you can really see it here. She sings in the second verse, like at the end, she sings, loving you was a breakthrough. I saw what my heart can really do. Now some other man will get the love I had for you and you don't care.
The way she delivers and you don't care.
Ah!
Like, I would hate to be the man that she's singing about. Like, because if I were to hear that.
The way she sings you don't care is so hot. And it's like, there's so many harmonies. And it's like, well, now I care. I don't know. My only other comment is this song kind of reminds me of a Georgia Smith type song. Who is a British R&B singer. Who I enjoy a lot, and I want to see Georgia cover it. But that has nothing to do with the song itself. It's just my personal wants. So Georgia Smith, if you're listening to my podcast with Sophia, you know what to do.
My only other note about this song is about the outro. Because, and I know I've talked about like 3 separate outros now, but the outro in this song, I wish they would have done more with it because there's a moment I think it is repeating the chorus at the end. The instrumentals back out and the background vocals get really quiet. And there's a few seconds where it sounds like the chorus is going to be sung just by Adele raw vocals. And it excites me. It makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. Like I can't. There's just like there's that single moment where her voice just like kind of gets a moment before everything completely fades out. And it just is really important and I need you guys to know about it.
Yeah. You're talking about like right after she goes one more time.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I love that. I love that she's like, no, let's do it one more time.
Yeah.
Do you hear
and
this?
That's how you can tell that she's feeling her way through this song. She was in the studio and she said, no, one more time. And then they decided to do something really special in the background.
Yeah. I love this. Also, I pulled up Genius while you were talking, and it goes, a diss song through and through. Love that.
But it's like an elevated diss song. Like, it, she's sophisticated.
I was going to say, she's sophisticated. She's glamorous. She's elegant. Mm-hmm. She remarkable. Like, outstanding.
She is like showing this man that she is the bigger person, and he is like an ant on the ground. Because you could never...
You weak little ant. In tradition of going track by track at this point, the next song is Hold On, and that is a favorite track for me. I just really like how the song takes its time to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And then right at the end of the second verse is when the song just like really grows and like swells. I just hit the mic stand because the song was swelling. But it starts off very like quiet. You get a very raw vocal from Adele.
Yeah.
She's singing, hold on, you are still strong, love will soon come, just hold on. And as the song grows past that second verse, you get like the outro or the instrumental builds up, and then you hear like a choir. Mm-hmm. And apparently this like choir or this chorus that's singing like in this bridge and the outro and the like final chorus is just like a bunch of her friends just singing with her.
I really like that idea.
And I just love that. I love like including the people in your life and your body of work.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically for the song I wrote, the bridge, just the whole bridge. Mm-hmm. She sings, sometimes loneliness is the only rest we get, and the emptiness actually lets us forget. Sometimes forgiveness is easiest in secret. And then she just screams, yes. Hold on.
It's so good, you guys. This is another one that I claimed.
It was not a cover of Jonas Brothers' Hold On.
And again, this is a song that I really loved the live performance of for her one night only.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another song where I feel like, you know, this is everybody's on the stage. Everybody has their arms around each other and they're swaying. And, you know, I think that this is the song that maybe she closed with this.
I would believe it because this does feel like a closer.
It's so good. And it's really motivational, kind of. I don't know. You're just feeling like you're going through it with Adele in this song.
I really don't have much to say on this song. I just think it's really pretty. It could float between a favorite track and an honorable track for me. But mm-hmm. when I was writing my notes, it was in favorites. So that's where she stays.
Oh, yeah. This one is an honorable for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I said that.
You did.
Okay.
Destroyed.
We're at the second to last track, you guys. This is a song called To Be Loved. And this song starts off with some really gentle piano that like takes me back to All Night Parking. Mm-hmm. But I know that it's probably not the same guy, whatever. This song is like the most vulnerable that Adele gets, I think,
mm-hmm.
on this entire album. Maybe the end of My Little Love. Maybe her like crying that and
private voicemail.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe that is the most vulnerable. But this is the most vulnerable song, I think, by far.
Yeah.
She posted her singing this song just casually on her couch to Instagram.
Yeah.
And I'm so, so glad that I watched that in its entirety, because now every single time I listen to this song, I picture her on her couch just like belting this and screaming this. And just like going through all the feelings.
I haven't watched that video yet because I'm behind on life and my brain is broken always. But I still think of that video every time. I just think of the thumbnail of her sitting in her kitchen or on the couch or wherever she is. I feel like sometimes I sound like a broken record, but I have a really hard time coming up with cool, complex thoughts on a good chunk of these songs because I think Adele's writing just does it for me. And all I ever can do is read the pre-chorus and chorus on the song.
Yes.
But what I will say is I would coin To Be Loved as like the TLDR of 30 by Adele. Like,
yeah.
Like without like the whole like flings and the new love experiences and whatnot, this is the whole theme. This is the whole like idea of what 30 by Adele is.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
Before I like dive super into the song, I feel like this song could have been the outro to the album. But at the same time, I like what Love Is a Game Love Is a Game does. Like, if we continue the idea of like this album is like a theatrical experience, right? Mm-hmm. This is the final song of the show. Curtains close, curtains reopen, Love Is a Game plays, and then curtains close again.
Yeah.
Is like how I see it.
And I think that if this song outroed the album, it would give the entire thing a different vibe.
Yeah.
Like, it would be a different experience.
It would be a very different experience.
Ending on To Be Loved, like, I don't know. This song is just so, it's like a cry.
Yeah. I don't know. I just remember when I listened to the song for the first time, hearing that last that I tried in the mm-hmm. chorus, that like belt, and then hearing like the, like on the piano, like yeah. that final, like, no, it just like felt so grand. And then I was like, oh, there's another song. That's not like anything bad. It's just like, yeah. it's just my experience with the song. I had the exact same experience with Happier Than Ever by Billie Eilish, where I felt like the second to last song could have closed the album. But to jump into the actual song now. Oh my, I'll never learn if I never leap. I'll always yearn if I never speak. To be loved and love at the highest count means to lose all the things I can't live without. Let it be known that I will choose to lose. It's a sacrifice, but I can't live a lie. Let it be known that I tried.
BRB crying.
Sobbing. I'm addicted to the melody of this. The way she sings To Lose specifically will never leave my head ever. It's just that entire, like, I'm just going to quote the Zane Lowe interview that was on the Genius annotations. Adele said she wanted to show that her intentions were always right, even if it took dismantling her and her child's life to get to a better place. Mm. She says she doesn't, fun fact, she doesn't listen to the song. She can't. And she most likely won't do it live because it makes her that upset and chokes her up that much.
Mm, I bet.
Which is, from an audience member, disappointing, because I would love to hear it live. But at the same time, yeah. we're all human and I understand that this would be difficult to sing live. It's like the same reason that Ariana could never sing Dosen. Mm. You know, like, it's just too, sometimes it's just too personal, but you yeah. put it out anyways. And I get it. I've been talking a lot. I'm going to throw it to you.
No, I completely agree. I understand why she would never do it live.
Oh, same.
You get such a good peek into how she's going through all of this.
Yeah.
It's so hard for me to have words to say about it. I think that this song is really special.
Yeah.
I don't.
I think the fact that it's just like there's no other vocal than the one vocal.
Yeah.
You don't get any harmony, no backing, no ad lib. It's just her singing and a piano.
Yeah.
And it's like the rawest form.
That last chorus is like something else.
Mm-hmm. I don't want you to forget the bridge, though. Let's yes. throw that bridge in that last chorus,
yes.
too. She literally, I don't know how else to like describe it other than like a scream belt. Like this is the cry.
Is wailing.
She's fully sobbing. And she sings, let it be known that I cried for you, even started lying to you. What a thing to do. All because I wanted to be loved and love at the highest count. Ouch.
There just are no words. Yeah, are no words.
It's just a big owie.
Yeah.
It's hard to say any words because it is just such a raw and vulnerable song. Mm-hmm. And it's like such a stellar showcase of her vocals.
Yeah.
Like we've been knew that Adele can sing. Mm-hmm. But oh my God. It's very interesting to listen to from like a child of divorce perspective, too. I hopefully will never have to relate to this experience
yeah.
from her perspective. And I know that's just a universal experience, especially with kids who have come from parents who have been divorced. Like, that's just something nobody really wants to experience.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that her vulnerability and her songwriting somehow puts you in that perspective. And like, you can like, I feel like I can truly like see through a little bit of a microscope, like what is going on. Like I will never fully get it, mm-hmm. but like for this six, almost 7 minutes that the song is playing,
yeah.
I understand it, if that makes sense. It's just a fantastic song. It's you, if you have not spent enough time with To Be Loved, make sure you're in the right mental headspace first yeah. and then go to it. Cause holy shit, it's just such a good song. Those were all of our favorite tracks on the album. You may be wondering,
there's any tracks left.
Is there any more? If so, where? We collectively decided we will not touch Easy On Me.
Yeah.
We've kind of touched it to death on the podcast already. So if you have missed past episodes, you can skip to Charts if you want to. But yeah. we covered it in Charts at length.
Long story short, we like it.
Yeah. if I still think it probably was the right choice to be a lead single for this project. It just makes sense. It's the most consistent to like what 25 sounded like. So yeah. It was the most like, it was the safest single to choose.
Yeah,
for a lead single. I'm excited to see what single she chooses in the future. But we're going to go to our one honorable mention, because there is one song left that we have not touched.
Yes.
And that is Can I Get It? This is an honorable mention for me. This is hot take. I claimed this track and I honestly would like to unclaim it. this song is not bad.
It's whatsoever. Really not bad.
I like existing in every single part of the song until the chorus hits.
Yeah.
And that is because the pre-chorus builds up and I feel like I'm going somewhere and then it just drops.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't wow me like I thought it would. It's not bad though. The song is like about wanting to have a real relationship, not wanting it to just devolve into just casual sex.
Mm-hmm.
She wants that end all be all. In the pre-chorus, she sings, I have promised I will love you till the end of time. Through it all, the good, the bad, the ugly, and divine. I will be the melody, the rhythm, and your rhyme. All I want is for you to be mine. Mm-hmm. And the chorus goes, can I get it right now? And that's pretty much it. And I love the idea. And I love that, like, I'm ready for it. Can I get it now? Like, can I skip to the happy ever after again? Like, yeah. I've had it already. I want it again. The way the chorus just drops, because it really builds up. There's like a drum that kicks into like a boom, 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 boom. And then it's just like a little like plucky guitar. And then like at the end of the chorus, it builds up again. And then you get like a fun like whistle moment that makes me think of another commercial. Yeah. Not derogatory still, because Adele cannot make a song that would make me say Old Navy derogatory, but it's just missing something.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I feel like the chorus could have been stronger, especially on an album that had consistent, strong choruses throughout every single song.
Yeah.
It just didn't do much for me.
I will hot take for a second and say that this is my least favorite song on the album. It is my only least favorite song on the album. And kind of like Jared said, it's missing something. It doesn't feel like it fits with the rest of the songs. And emotionally, you know, all of these other tracks affected me in some way, or, you know, I could put myself in those shoes. And this one, I just can't.
Yeah.
So it's my least favorite. Also, I realized when I was taking notes for this song that the guitar at the beginning reminds me of the Can't Make a Wife Out of a Hoe song.
Without You by the Kid Laroi.
Literally, it's like kind of alarming, because I would like this song would come on. You guys know I listen to this album on repeat. And when I tell you I've been listening to it for 2 weeks, I've been listening to it on repeat front to back. When this song comes on, I feel like I'm not listening to Adele anymore. But, like, not in an all-night parking, oh-my-God way.
Not in a way that you enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I wrote, it feels a little too commercial, and while it's different for Adele, I'd like her to let this track be a one-track type of thing. I agree. This is my least favorite song on the album. I'm just too emotionally invested in that pre-chorus to let it not be an honorable mention.
Yeah.
One more thing that bothers me about this song. In the second verse, there's, a horn or, an instrument that just sounds like a duck quacking. It's like, and I'm like, okay, I don't want to get that. I don't know. It sounds like we're dogging on the song. If we can only dog on one little song on a 60-minute album.
Yeah.
I think it's okay.
Yeah. I personally, in the chorus, hate It Makes Me Angry.
Mm-hmm.
She does a little moan after she says, so the first, can I get it right now? And then she I don't even want to do it.
Is it the one now? Or is it, can I get?
No, she goes, can I get it right now? Mm. Have you never noticed that?
I have to re-listen to it. I don't think I've ever heard a moan.
It is. I need you to hear it.
Okay. Right now.
Right now. Because
we'll be back in a second.
It is my biggest gripe with this song. And the fact that you've never noticed it really bothers me.
Listen, she's feeling it. Now that I've heard that moan, I will safely say that this song has gone from an honorable mention to a favorite track.
Jared!
Just kidding.
I just don't like the weird little moan.
That's fair. She's like, the look of disgust on your face when I recreated it.
I don't like it. Anyways,
I have no more thoughts.
Same. Just overall thoughts?
Just overall thoughts, yeah. Do you want me to start? Or do you want to give your thoughts first?
I'll start. I feel like I haven't started in a while.
I feel like you haven't either.
When this album was originally announced, and Adele kind of revealed that she had been keeping it to herself for a while because she needed it to get through what she was going through, my expectations were already very high. Because I was like, oh, we're all going to cry. This is going to be really emotional. And yeah, it was really emotional. But I do think that it's really well-rounded. And it kind of tackles her divorce and her struggles finding love again. It covers all of her boxes. Or bases. I can speak.
Sports are hard.
You know, and we're also at a point, it's the winter, daylight savings hit. It's getting darker outside so much earlier, and it's making everybody sad and angry. And everything just seems a little more bleak. And, you know, for Jared and I, finals are right here.
We're in them.
And so, you know, for the past 2 weeks, getting to really live and exist in this album has been really enjoyable. This album also has a lot of really important messages in it, in multiple songs. And it represents a lot of growth within the album and within her entire discography. You know, this is 30, which according to Gen Z is like over the hill.
When's she retiring?
You know, she's lived a lot of life and she's gone through a lot of things. And so the fact that she can so coherently and elegantly reflect on that in an entire body of work. And not only that, but on the day of release, Spotify got rid of the shuffle button.
Yeah, when you go to play an album.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is really important. And Adele herself tweeted about it saying, you know, this is how I intend for this body of work to be listened to. Like, why would you shuffle it?
Yeah.
So that it's interesting to think about. And I feel like this album is a really perfect blend of 19, 21, and 25. And it's not only a perfect blend, but it's elevated and it's, you know, going past what she was doing in those albums. And, you know, I've so many more things that I could say. But this episode is already long enough. So I guess I'll just tell you guys that I think that 30 by Adele is a 9.5 out of 10.
Period. Yeah. So this 30 comes out 6 years after her past work. And it's just been so nice to be living in a time where Adele like exists in the spotlight again for me specifically. I mean, this is her fourth album in her 13-year-long career. I think she lives past the curse of your fourth album as a flop. Like we see with other artists, like Katy Perry is the only one that's coming up in my head, for example. I'm sorry, Katy. but yeah, that's that. I think this album was very interesting for me. It took me like 2 listens to be fully like sold on this project. And I think it's because Adele is really experimenting a lot, but she mixes it with like her normal songwriting because she's a great songwriter. And like while it felt very different, it feels like such a natural progression. So the first listen was like, oh, this is different. This is new. And the second listen was like, oh, this is Adele. Like this is good music. This is Adele. I love how she dove a little bit more into R&B and soul sounds with songs like Woman Like Me, how we got like jazzy pop with Cry Your Heart Out. She's channeling Elton John energies in some tracks, Judy Garland, and just there's so many influences on this album, but it feels so uniquely her. And I love that. I think this album is a great listen front to back. I don't think there's a skip. I do think there is a low point in the middle with Can I Get Its Chorus specifically. I don't think that's enough to like say this album is not perfect. And if I were to be rating this as like a Adele stan, I would be giving it a 10 out of 10. But I do want to make sure my dissatisfaction with Can I Get It makes my rating fair. So for that reason, I'm going to give it a 9.5 out of 10. But if you check the syllabus, that's still an A+. So, I mean, Adele, you're killing it with that 4.0 GPA. I've just really enjoyed having this album exist, finally. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed going into Target and seeing the walls of this album on the shelves.
Yeah.
Like, there's a gazillion copies of the vinyl. There's 700 million copies of the CD. I'm getting this album on vinyl. I'm excited to play it for the first time on my record player after Christmas break. I plan on getting the CD so I can hear those bonus tracks. Mm-hmm. I don't have a CD player, but I'll figure it out. and I'm just really excited to see how the lifespan of this album plays out. I'm excited to see the music videos that come out. I know we're getting an I Drink Wine music video, and I hope we get one for Oh My God. I hope we get one for Online Parking, maybe. Mm. That just would be fun. I just want to see like a lo-fi. I want to see Adele doing the homework, you know? I want this chill study beats.
Oh my gosh. We have the same rating.
Look at us. So yeah, a bit long, but that is our entire analysis of 30 by Adele. We would be doing you a disservice if we didn't give you a long episode with this album. We've been hyping it up for too long. It's been super fun to exist in this rollout, to be a part of the speculations. Just a few months ago, we were looking at 30s on the side of the Eiffel or on the side of the Louvre or whatnot and being like, is Adele coming? Like the journey we have experienced throughout this season of the podcast and throughout this lifespan of this album. Mm-hmm. It's been so fun. I really enjoyed getting to live in Adele's world again.
I agree with that.
Yeah. We want to know what you're thinking. Do you love this album? Do you think it is album of the year? Do you think it's going to sweep in the Grammys? Do you think it's going to kill Silk Sonic? I don't know. I'm just speaking, you know?
Just speaking some words.
And you should speak to us. Let us know on our social medias on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at SickBeats with JS.
Not just Jay.
We're going to take a little break. But we'll be back shortly. Enjoy the music.
All right, everybody. It's everybody's favorite part of the episode where we do
Sick Beats Charts!
Sick Beats Charts! Sick
Beats Charts! So, we mention it at the beginning of every episode, but Sick Beats Charts is a 10-song playlist that Jared and I make separately every week just to kind of let you know what else we're listening to besides the album that we talk about.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Sophia and I listen to similar but different music, so it's always cool to kind of check in on what is picking our brains throughout the week. It's always fun. That's all I have to say about that. But on the podcast here, we only give you our top three to save time because this podcast already runs pretty long. And
especially this episode.
Yeah, especially this episode. If you want a 3-hour podcast, we can do all 10 songs, but we'll be here all night. but yeah, you can find our full playlist of our 10 songs on Spotify. There's also a social media version of just the chart. And on Spotify, there's also a long mega playlist of every Sick Beats Charts ever. And if you're interested in listening to the full playlist, you can find it in the link on our social media. We just said it, but we're going to say it again. It's at Sick Beats with JS.
Not SJ.
Yeah. So with that being said, Sophia, what was your third favorite song? I guess for the past 2 weeks since we took a break, but...
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, you guys know all I've been listening to for the past 2 weeks on repeat is 30 by Adele.
Yeah.
So naturally, my number three is All Night Parking from 30 by Adele.
Love it.
There's nothing more that I can say about this song. I love it. It's so chill. It like helps you relax. And I don't know. It's so good.
I agree. All Night Parking is actually, spoiler alert, number 4 on my chart.
Oh.
So, I mean, I would be doing the exact same thing as you just did. But I won't be talking about it. my number 3 on my chart this week is also short and sweet. It's Oh My God by Adele. I don't have any other words to say other than, oh my God, it's infectious. I can't not listen to it. So there you go. It's on a playlist for you.
Very good. My number 2 this week has been at the number 4 spot on my charts for the last 2 weeks. Or for the last 2 charts.
Yeah.
And it is a song called Bloodline / Difficult Things by Orla Gartland from her debut album, Woman on the Internet. This song, you know, kind of got overshadowed by Over Your Head because that song had a really big hold on me. But with how my charts are looking this week, which you'll have to see when we post them.
I'm excited.
The way my charts are looking, a loud, alt screamy song doesn't really go with the rest of the vibe. This song, as the name suggests, it's Bloodline / Difficult Things. It's kind of a mixture of two different songs that are shorter that she put together. And Bloodline is kind of a song about being frustrated with her family, kind of. She opens the song talking about growing up in Dublin and her mother. And this lyric I really like, she says, "I saw myself inside her," her mother, "a sobering reminder, we all become our mother in the end."
Ooh.
I love that line. I know in my almost 20 years of being on this earth that I am just a carbon copy of my mom, which isn't a bad thing, but I really like that line. The chorus says, "You can leave it all behind, skip a beat in the bloodline, and you've been hiding all your life. It's time to skip a beat in the bloodline."
Hmm.
And it's really good. Drums kick in. There's a gritty guitar. And then at the end, everything kind of breaks down and it gets a lot softer. The music changes. You know, that gritty guitar is replaced with an acoustic. And it opens with, and actually this was in the documentary, she found an old VHS, like a family video of just her like doing something and her family's like talking to her. So it opens with that as the music's changing and you are kind of realizing, oh, we're shifting gears here. And she says, "I don't want to run away, but you don't get me. I keep it all in because we never talk about difficult things." And this is, again, talking about her family, but just kind of in a different way. And then it builds. And then at the end, it's really grand and big and drums and lots of vocals. And it's just, "We never talk about difficult things." Mm. And like vocal layering in between. It's really cool at the end.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Thematically kind of reminds me of Dynasty by Rina Sawayama.
Mm.
It just like has like tiny similarities, just like the idea of the bloodline. That sounds really cool. And I really like the lyrics she pulled out. My number two song is The Weeknd by SZA, but specifically this week, it's the Funk Wave remix. Hear me out. I think the song, the original version, is a good song and deserves to be on my chart anyways. But I had Control by SZA open looking for a song to put on my chart. Because I knew I wanted a Control by SZA song on my chart.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the remix in the recommended songs. And I was like, oh, I forgot about that remix. It's so good. So that's what happened. this instrumental was less like subdued and sexy than the original, but a little more bouncy and clubby, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Like not super clubby, but like it, you can dance to it a little bit more than like have sex to it. sorry, just getting right to the point. I just love this song a lot. And as we mentioned earlier, SZA is one of my top artists this year.
Yes.
I was late to the game when it came to listening to Control, but I'm so glad I did listen to it. But specifically, The Weeknd is kind of about being some guy's side piece. Apparently, it's like from the perspective of three girls singing. I don't really know.
Oh.
I read that in the Genius annotations. But I just think this idea is interesting. I love the chorus so much, and I'm mm-hmm. going to read it all to you. Are you ready?
Yes.
She sings, "My man is my man is your man. Heard that's her man too." And she does it again. And she says, "Heard that's her man Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. I just keep him satisfied through the weekend. You like 9 to 5. I'm the weekend. Make him lose his mind every weekend. You take Wednesday, Thursday, and then just send him my way. I think I got him covered for the weekend." I just think it's so cocky, so fun. It's like, I got your man in my sheets on the weekend.
Well, and you can definitely tell that it's from the perspective of like multiple, I don't know if it's like multiple women singing, but it definitely is.
The
like,
situation has multiple women.
Yes.
Yes. And I think the way she goes into the second verse is very interesting, especially because mm-hmm. like she has this like, this is my man, but it's your man. But it's my man too. But in the second verse, she goes, I'm just saying, like, what kind of deal? Just 2 days. I need me at least about 4 of them, more of them. And I just think that's like very interesting. It's like, I'm very aware on the side piece, but I want him to be my main piece.
Yeah.
Damn it.
But you're not like crushed about it.
Yeah. And I just love her voice.
Mm-hmm.
Says it just makes me happy. The song is really good. And this remix is really fun. So you should listen to it. That's why it's on my charts.
My number one on my chart is a song that I said earlier will have a hold on me for a very long time. So I'll give you a couple seconds to think of what it is.
I got it. It's Without You by the Kid Laroi.
Podcast over.
No!
My number one this week is Woman Like Me by Adele.
Exactly.
There are no words. There are no words. There is not a single word.
No words. Here's the words. Pause the podcast. Listen to the song. Come back. Listen to my number one. I agree. What a good number one song to have.
I am proud of it. Thank you.
My number one song this week is Cry Your Heart Out by Adele. This is a short and sweet charts because I don't have more words to say.
Yeah.
It's just, I just think I'm the most excited to hear this song when it pops up on the album. I just think it's a very interesting change of pace in the album sequencing. I really like the production. There's something about it that just like is stuck in my head. Mm-hmm. And I just really like it.
No, it's really good.
Like, I don't have any other words to say. I have only really been listening to my big random playlist that is just like a new song every time I press play. Mm-hmm. And 30 by Adele this week and the past week. And it's just like Cry Your Heart Out has just forever been in my head.
Yeah.
And songs on 30 by Adele have been in my head, but it might be just like a note or two. Like, but it's just like specifically that the pre-chorus to the song, I like hum while walking down the street. Like, I just can't not listen to the song, and I'm not going to waste your time by saying anything else about the song because it will just be repetitive. I just love it a lot. It deserves to be number one on our Sick Beats charts. So at least mine. So yeah.
Now mine is better.
You want to fight me? Well, that about wraps up our Sick Beats charts this week.
Sick Beats chart.
Again, if you're interested in looking at our full chart, you'll probably see a lot more 30 by Adele. But there's some other good songs in there. I got some Silk Sonic in there. I've got
some Adele in there.
I suddenly forget every other song on that chart, but there is Adele in there. You know you're going to get some Orla Gartland over by Sophia.
Oh, yeah.
Some Adele. It's a good time. Definitely listen to them. And again, we have a mega playlist. Everything is on our social media. It's Sick Beats with JS.
Not SJ.
And of course, we want to know what you're listening to this week, and especially the past week, because we missed you last week during the holiday. I hope you had a great holiday. But let us know, what songs are you listening to? Have you taken out the Christmas music? What Christmas music should we listen to? Let us know anything and everything. I just want to know what you're listening to.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Sick Beats with Jared and Sophia. If you enjoyed this episode and want to continue discussing music with us, make sure you add the podcast on your preferred podcasting platform, as well as following us on our social media. Once again, it's at Sick Beats with JS.
Not SJ. We'll be announcing next week's album on Wednesday on all of our social media. We just plugged it for you, so hopefully you got it.
At Sick Beats with JS.
Not SJ. So yeah, make sure to be on the lookout for all of that, including our charts and everything else. Yeah. But until then, thank you so much for listening to us cry about Adele for 3 hours, 72 minutes, and 300 gazillion seconds.
Yeah.
That's math.
That was the exact time.
Exactly. We're super excited to talk to you guys next week for some more Sick Beats, and we will see you then. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Jared, now that 30 by Adele is over, I would like to ask you a question.
Yeah?
Will you marry me again? I'm holding on a ring.
Yes, I do! Oh my god!
To be loved and love at the highest house. Let the peace that I try. Guys, come to our wedding. Season finale.
The plot thickens. Last time on Sick Beats.
That's what you missed on.